the vision plainly so that those who run with it can see it clearly. You know, we need to have that. However, at the same time, this church and this ministry from day one has been one of those where nothing ever turns out like you plan it.
Right.
But you can see the hand of God all over it.
Right.
And it's just been amazing to watch for the many years. A couple of things I want to share. First off, I was asked to do this because, you know, my dad has loved you guys from the very beginning on. You've been family to us and our family, and we've supported you guys and helped with projects. And you name it. From even one summer, I was youth pastor here. I don't know if some of y'all remember that. And that was my very first taste of ministry, and then I got out for like 10 years, so I don't know what y'all did to me, but it wasn't that bad. I'm just kidding. But just a lot of memories and a lot of things, and I thought through it all, and kind of how this came about is, you know, at first it was going to be a dedication. My dad had given a bunch of money. Some of y'all had given money. Other people had given a lot of money to remodel the kitchen. It was another one of those visions, one of those projects that you have, you want to do one day, that finally got an opportunity to beset itself to be able to do it. And, you know, my dad was going to be here to help, and we were going to dedicate it in honor of Miss Ruth, because that was her area. She loved it. She was part of the food pantry for many years. She was always in the kitchen when at homecomings. We'd all be in here sitting down, and she'd be serving, and even a young guy like myself, I would be like, well, let me help. She goes, no, sit down. She would make me sit down and even make my dad sit down, and she would serve, you know, and that was just her. And all of a sudden, my dad passes. So then they were like, well, we'll do it in honor of Ruth, and we'll do it in memory of my dad. And I was like, well, okay, that's nice. Thank you. You don't have to do that. A little bit later, then all of a sudden, Ruth starts getting bad. And then next thing you know, she's in heaven now. So what we had planned to do in honor of one person ended up in the memory of two. And it's one of those things where my dad's prayer partner just went to the Lord this week. He had COVID, and it was almost like I could see my dad saying, these people that he prayed with all the time, it was like, okay, hold on a minute. You're the person we've prayed to. I'm seeing you face to face. I got to get some people to come up here and see what I'm seeing. So I wish he would have talked to us about that. But I see Wes up there now with him, and I see Ruth up there, and I can see Anna, Ruth, and Don. I love how Chris talked about Don's dragging his leg and is shaking. I'll share a story about that in just a minute. I know, hey, y'all picked a preacher to do this, so just hold on. I know you don't.
I'm getting a little offended now.
No. That's all right. Cowboy game's over, right? But I will share a couple of verses, then I'll share a couple of memories, and then I'll let you go and eat.
You're fine, brother.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 and 10 says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. And his dad, over the last 6 months or so, is getting worse and worse. I could tell he had gotten to the point where he told us, he said, no more. I've fought cancer. I've beat it 4 times. He said, I'm done. I'm not going to, if something happens, let me go. And I was to the point where I was like, okay, I understand. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, I'm tired. I'm just tired. And I can tell you, Ruth got to that way where she was just tired. It's the point where this corruptible, the body, has got to put on incorruption so it's not tired anymore. But it ceases from its works at one time. Dad and Ruth were both tired, and they both have also ceased from their works. There's also another verse in 1 Corinthians 15, 53 and 54 that says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying written, death is swallowed up in victory. I think we could also say that being tired is no longer an option. They have bodies that they're not going to be tired on anymore. They're ceasing from their work. Now they're just getting to praise God instead of working and serving others for Him. The verse that, also another verse that says, In Revelation 14, 13, I thought of this verse a lot right before my dad had passed, and I shared it with the pastor, and he used it at my dad's memorial service. It's Revelation 14, 13, which says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." So I want to share just a few of their labors that I remember. I remember when this first got started, hearing the story when Anna Ruth worked with my dad at TI. Anna Ruth and Ruth Stevens worked with my dad at TI. And Anna Ruth came up to my dad one day and said, "I need you to come. There's this ministry, this church we started, and blah, blah, blah. I need you to go buy a bicycle. And you need to bring it for this Christmas party we're going to have. I need you to bring this bicycle, buy a bicycle, and bring this bicycle to the Christmas party." My dad looked at her and said, "I'm not buying no bicycle. I'm bringing no bicycle. I don't know them, and not only that, I can't even afford a bicycle for my own kids." Really? Well, guess what? There's a bike at that Christmas. I remember about the age of my daughter Haley now, I remember being here and coming to the Christmas parties and everybody bringing these gifts to give to everybody. And I remember when my mom would make a stop on the way, and my mom would say, "We got to stop." My dad said, "What? We're late. We got to hurry." She goes, "You don't understand. We got to buy a man's sweater."
Oh, I remember
that. And I would be like, "What are you talking? What? No, we don't need to buy a man. No." But we would stop, get a man's sweater. Halfway through the Christmas party, a gentleman would come in the door after all the gifts had been given out. And the gentleman came in the door and had nothing. Just off the streets, just came in. We happened to have a man's sweater for him. I remember that.
Praise
stuck
God.
In my head.
Praise God.
I remember playing the trumpet during church in here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe y'all put up with that. But anyway, you know, I love it that they call it a special. We're going to sing a special. It's real special. I'm going to admit this, but then I'm going to deny it the rest of my life. My brother, who's not here, which knowing that I was going to tell this is probably why I didn't come. But when we were young and we would bring stuff here, we'd bring stuff to give away for a lot of the food pantry stuff. My dad would get a lot of venison meat and some of his steaks from his cows. He would bring them. So we'd be up here during the week when nobody else was. And there were times where my brother and I weren't helping a lot. But we would use some of the wheelchairs that were around here. Sorry if this offends you. But my brother and I would have wheelchair races. Because these hardwood floors, you can have some really fast races. Tore up some knuckles and all kinds of stuff. But I remember, you talking about Don and that dragging that leg and then the shake when it got real bad. I remember my brother and I ran into one of these walls, fell down the little steps over here or something, and both wheelchairs were banged up into each other, and we were all laying on the floor together, and I hear this, slide. And I would look up from a little kid about the size of Haley there, I'd look up, and then I see Pastor Don, leaning over, shaking him. And I thought, "Oh my God, he's going to kill us. What is this going on here?" And he'd look at us and he'd go, "Who won?" I love Don. Anna Ruth was not as forgiving, though. I'm not going to tell you what she said. I remember the times that my dad would sing. My dad loved to sing.
Yes, he did.
Y'all loved, I emphasize, y'all love to hear him sing. But you don't understand, we're in this house. It's not a very tall house, but it's a real long house. And I would remember hearing my dad prepare to sing the one song, the only song that I thought, as I got older, I wanted to say, "Dad, learn another song." Because I think they get it that God's great. But I could hear him in the shower all morning long. I'd have to hear him in the truck or the car all the way here. "How great thou art! How great thou art!" Oh, Lord, that's going to be real special. But y'all were very kind, and y'all put up with him. Y'all put up with his singing. Y'all put up with his humor, his jokes. I remember listening to Ruth Stevens and Dad both talking about Anna Ruth and Don behind their backs. They made you do that? Yeah, they made me do that too. And I loved Dad and Ruth's relationship. I loved how they both cared for each other, and they did stuff for each other, but they wouldn't tell each other that they were doing stuff for each other. You know what I'm saying? In fact, what it was for the last probably 6 to 10 years maybe, my dad loved Ruth's pecan pie. Oh, it was the best. If the kids say it was the bomb, right? It was just awesome. It was so sweet. You could feel the cavities just drilling holes in your teeth as you ate it. It was that sweet and that wonderful. But all of a sudden, one year, Dad would always tell, oh, I love your pies, they're the best. And so she would always make one or two or three extra pecan pies to take home. She'd put them off the side in the kitchen. Everybody's leaving, getting ready to go. She'd grab those pies and she'd beat them out the door and say, here's your pies. He said, oh, thank you. I love your pies. They're the greatest thing in the world. Well, about 10 years ago or so, a little bit more maybe, or it's probably more than that, my dad ended up with some diabetes. And he had to do the shots and things like that. But he didn't care because he knew how to check his blood sugar. And he knew how to cheat and give himself an extra shot. So he didn't care if the pies were that sweet. In fact, he still looked forward to them. Well, Ruth, loving Dad and caring about him, wanting to care more about him than he cared about himself, she would make these pies without sugar in them. So I took, it was one time that I was here that he wasn't able to make it, so I brought the pies home to me. Oh, thank you. Oh, I love those pies. Yes. I said, well, one of them's for me. He goes, no, they're both for me. I said, okay, whatever. So he kept the pies. Day went by, the pies were still in the ice box with one piece eaten. Another day or two, they were, after about a week or so, I said, Dad, what? I noticed you're not eating. He goes, those are the worst pies I've ever eaten in my life. I'm sorry. She's not here. He's not here, so we can tell this story now.
Yeah.
I've been holding this secret for a long time. I just got to let it loose.
Just let it go.
Let it go. Right? Okay. And so I would come back here, and she goes, I made him some more pies. And I was like, oh, God. Yeah. She made the pies because he was diabetic. She took the sugar out.
Yeah.
He would not tell her that he did not like those pies. He would text her or call her or something, and did you get those pies? Oh, they were the greatest pies. I was like, Dad, don't lie to her. So keep making them. And for the last 10, 12, 15 years, whatever, she made him pies, and he wouldn't eat them. So, but they loved doing that for each other.
Right.
They cared about each other. I think about the times that you guys were, no offense, you bragged on others too, and you were like, you know, I'm just not sure I'm up to the task of carrying the burden that they had. You know, Pastor Larry, you were saying that, and I think that sometimes too when I look at this ministry and I'm like, you said all those things, and I was like, wow, amen, those things need to be done, that'd be great. And I'm like, okay. And then I hear that still small voice that says, it's your turn. 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 They are tired, and now they're resting. They've ceased from their works. But Revelation 14:13 says, yes, says the Spirit, that's the voice that says that, by the way, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Well, those works that I shared with you followed them. I've got memories. Memories of when y'all let me preach in here. And y'all asked me back a couple of times. I'm like, oh my gosh, really? Y'all are pretty desperate. But their works followed them. And now, guess whose turn it is to pick up their banner?
Ours.
It's ours. It's our turn. to take up their banners, to take up their visions, to take up their desires, to take up their passions, to take up their deeds for the Lord and for His church. If not us, then who?
Right. Amen.
If not now, then when? I knew this is what God wanted me to share. And you guys picked out these songs. And we sang the song. And we started to sing the song, Scars in Heaven. And I was like, oh, please don't sing that song.
Mm-hmm.
That song is a gut puncher. Especially if you just lost somebody. But the words say this. I know the road you walked was anything but easy. You picked up your share of scars along the way. Oh, but now you're standing in the sun. You fought your fight and your race is run. The pain is a million miles away. This is talking about death.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth.
Right.
Anna Ruth. And Dawn.
And David.
David. Yes. Others. Mary. I remember Mary.
Mm-hmm.
I love my mom's here. Mary, y'all remember Mary in the wheelchair, one of the very first ones ever. She had a speech problem and you couldn't hardly understand her. I just nodded. Yes, Mary. And my mom would come up and say, well, she didn't ask that. She said, I said, my mom was the only person, she's like the Mary Whisperer.
Yes.
The only person that could understand Mary. And Ruth.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is them. They're there now, resting. And it says, hallelujah, hallelujah. Then this is what it says. For the hands that hold you now, there's not a day goes by that I don't see you. You live on in all the better parts of me. Until I'm standing with you in the sun, I'll fight this fight and this race I'll run until I see what you can see.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all picked these songs before I even knew why I needed to share this message.
Amen.
Pastor Larry had his message to say the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
When he called me and he said, we're going to do this dedication. And I said, okay, so you need me to preach? He goes, no, I'm preaching. I was like,
how rude.
What? How dare you? Okay, fine. When do you want me to preach? I don't want you to preach.
What?
I want you to do the dedication. Okay, I'll do the dedication. I can preach during that, whatever. He said, but we're going to do it right before we eat. You got to teach, just talk for just a few seconds. To ask the preacher just to talk for a few seconds.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I've ever heard about.
You blew that, Jerry.
But I sit there and I see now how, just like I started this thought out, we had plans. We have desires, we have visions, we have directions. We think that we want this to happen and this to happen. And God says, I love your plans. They're great. But wait and watch what I do.
Right. Amen.
And no matter, we may not like that our loved ones are there, but there's a reason.
Yes.
And the reason is now it's our turn.
Right. Amen.
Sometimes we sit around and we let other people serve us. There's times where you have to tell the roots of this world, Miss Kathy.
Right.
You have to say, that's right, I'm hungry. You have to say, you sit down. That's why our church has blessed y'all for the last couple of years. We come on Thanksgiving and we say, Chris, sit down. Kathy, sit down. David, sit down. And we come serve you guys. But sometimes you have to let somebody else serve you too. But then there comes a point where you have to stop and you have to say, I've been served all my life. Now it's my turn to serve.
Right. Amen.
Sometimes God will take our loved ones that we let do all the work home to show us. But here's the beautiful thing. We have living hope. We're going to see them again.
Amen.
And I love what Pastor Larry said. They're up there watching. The Bible talks about a great cloud of witnesses watching. And they're watching us.
Amen.
And we got a race to run.
And the best is yet to come.
And the best is yet to come. So I want to pray. I want to give thanks for the food. And get a chance after you eat or something. Look at this kitchen. Wonderful job, man. A lot has gone into this. So thankful.
There's an apron for Jerry and one for Reese.
Oh, I love it. Y'all see those?
What color are the aprons?
They're white.
Black letters. It says loving memory. We've got their dates.
You're fine.
That's awesome. Thank you guys. On behalf of the Gibson family and the Stevens family, we want to thank you guys for doing this for our loved ones. We love you guys just like they loved you.
Yes.
Hopefully y'all will continue to love us with all our faults and failures, like you loved our loved ones.
Yes.
But let's get busy and work for the Lord.
Amen.
Let's pray.
Okay.
Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for how you have designed this day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in that. Yes. Father God, glorify yourself in the future through this church, through the members here, through everybody that's here. Help us all to know what our parts are and our roles are in the coming days, months, and years until you send your son back to come get all of us.
Yes.
And until that day, we want to worship you and praise you and thank you. We ask you to bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies. Our bodies will always be in your will, in the center of your will. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. For those that cannot serve themselves, I've got several people that are going to help me. We have about 8 plates to pick. If those that can serve themselves would wait long enough for us to get those plates picked, then you can all come up and help yourself.